December 20th, 2016. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Jingly Chip Hessenfly.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Today is the last day of fall. It's winter tomorrow.
Winter tomorrow. And you know what that means.
It's going to be cold.
It's been bitter cold
it's
here
gonna
recently.
It's going to snow.
Yeah.
It's snowing quite a bit, too, already.
Oh, my goodness. In fact, last week, the schools had exams, and they were the superintendent was basically saying, please let it be warm enough that I don't have to cancel school.
Right.
But anyway, tomorrow is the winter solstice.
Winter solstice.
Shortest day of the year.
24 hours.
Well, it's going to be shortest day with sunlight.
Right.
It's only 24 hours.
That's right.
No leap year this. No.
Then Friday, we've got Festivus for the rest of us, which is still on my calendar.
Do you really? We've got the poll.
We can air grievances.
Have you already started writing them down? So you don't forget.
Holiday traditions, man. They come from somewhere. It might as well be a sitcom.
Yeah. Create the stress. Create the stress of the moment so you can be ready for the 24th.
That's right. The 24th, the first night of Hanukkah.
Light some candles.
Saturday, and so that's awesome.
Candles that burn more slowly.
That's right.
That was a great song from John Stewart. He sang to Stephen Colbert, Can I Interest You in Hanukkah?
Then Sunday, we've got Christmas, and Monday is Boxing Day. So all of our listeners in Canada and England, you've got a holiday to look forward to on Monday. It's interesting to have these holidays on the weekend this year.
Well, they happen every 7 years or so. Christmas is obviously the big day. Lots of food. Lots of food. And then, Boxing Day is St. Stephen's Day. So, you can just go.
So I can celebrate then, too.
You can celebrate all you want.
That's right.
Boxing Day is when you let the servants off, right? So you can, they can enjoy the holiday season.
Good. I'll let the robots recharge that day.
All of a sudden, Alice gets the day off, and Mike Brady and Carol, they can take the family and make their own grilled cheeses and meatloaf, right?
And just be exhausted by the end of the day. Those episodes where Alice got the day off, the Bradys were not capable of maintaining that household.
That's right. They had to call Sam the Butcher themselves.
That's right. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. And you got a chance to go to the movie theater and see Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Yeah, this is a quiet movie that not a lot of people are going to see. So I probably should.
Making some good money.
Oh, it has.
It has.
Well, I sat next to three people, two young ladies who are probably... Maybe they were in high school. Maybe they were a little older and a gentleman. This was their first Star Wars experience.
Their first Star Wars experience. That's amazing. It's amazing that in this day and age, you can still have your first experience.
Well, it's just what it is. And they were asking each other questions like...
Who's that guy?
Who's that guy? Where does this fit in? And that is the most difficult question because I was sitting there and I turned around and said, well, that's the fourth movie...
Episode 4, which was the first movie in 1977.
The first time we meet Luke Skywalker, and I've created a better answer to that. It's the original. It's the first movie of the original trilogy.
Yes.
It happens before that. So that's where it takes place.
So it's kind of like a prequel.
It is a prequel, but not the prequels.
No. we don't talk about those.
This is a very capable movie. I don't think anybody who enjoys Star Wars would leave this being upset. I don't think this is one for the ages. Let me make sure I'm very clear on this. This is like a Marvel movie. You go to it, it's part of the serial, and it's good. This is a war film.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got really young kids, this is not Ewoks. There's no blood ever in a Star Wars film.
There is a little bit of blood in Episode 7, if you remember, and it was a moment where the audience went, there's blood.
That's right, there was. He wiped a stormtrooper.
That was significant.
Well, that was to be able to identify
precisely
one person out of all these others.
Because in a war, there's going to be casualties. There's going to be blood. But Star Wars is for families, and that's one of the things that I'm really glad that somebody decided, maybe it was George Lucas himself, decided that this was going to be a bloodless coup.
Well, in fact, this is there's lots of death in this. Obviously, many people died to give us this movie.
He die.
That's right. Well, the point is, many people did die to be able to give the Death Star plans to them. And this is their story and their death at the end. I gave away the ending of it. But how did they get there? We meet a group of rogues Mm-hmm. We have a good time with them. They're good characters. There's humor in it. There's lots of winks, wink, 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 that you'll notice.
The nostalgia factor.
That will show up in the first New Hope.
Oh.
So there's lots
I should see that one day.
I'll give you my little piece of spoilers. Tarkin is in this film. Peter Cushing, the actor who played Tarkin, has been dead a long, long time.
Yes.
So when he shows up, he shows up as, if you remember the Polar Express, mm-hmm. the technology that gave us that movie and Tom Hanks.
That's advanced quite a bit from then.
Sure, but that's the technology they're using. We're mm-hmm. using the modern version of that. While it is very good, it certainly is not human.
You still have that uncanny valley where you're still staring at it going, there's something wrong here.
And it's kind of video game-ish, mm-hmm. But it's a cartoon. That confused the people who were sitting next to me because they kept asking questions about that. And I finally turned to them and said, well, that's a cartoon. That's what it is. And
you didn't say, Misa don't know.
That's right. I use them. Jar Jar will be back. When Jar Jar showed up, everything got really good.
That's right.
Let me tell you the Jar Jar
old things. Jar Jar shows up and shows them a thing or two.
Lots of droids, lots of characters that you'll know. Okay. Lot of winks and stuff. And I think that this is not a great film. But it does move it does fill in the empty story, and no one will leave saying, oh, I've wasted my time, especially if you enjoyed Star Wars.
And what Disney has been really good at the last few years since they picked up this property is filling in those stories with the books and the comic mm-hmm. books and these movies. I look forward to actually getting a chance to see this movie sometime this week.
Sure.
Or maybe next.
And I've purposely not said too much about all the cameos and stuff, because I do think that they are joyful mm-hmm. When you see them. While I left it, and I'll say this again, while I left and I did not think this was a great film, I found myself thinking about it as I was driving around the next day. So there is something there. I don't think that, you know, repeat viewing like the Empire Strikes Back is going to be what I would do. But then again, I'm not a 10-year-old kid.
I'm not a 10-year-old kid technically, but I do watch episode 4, 5, and 6 every Christmas day. Mm-hmm. So I might add episode 7 to that list this year. And I don't know about this one.
Well, the amount of money it made mm-hmm. Definitely says they're going to continue to make these. And aren't we getting, we're going to get a Han Solo movie.
Yes, there is a Han Solo movie coming in 2 years.
And I think there's rumors that we're going to get a Darth Vader movie.
There's certainly a possibility of a Darth Vader-based movie and a Boba Fett-based movie.
And let me mention this also, and I'll just go, this sounds totally spoilers, but it's certainly, I'm not giving anything away. Darth Vader is in this film, mm-hmm. and he talks. And what I did notice was that James Earl Jones is the voice. But James Earl Jones's voice has changed from the original. He's obviously an older gentleman mm-hmm. Now, and that is kind of that's a beauty of it. That's James Earl Jones,
right?
But you're also going, that's not the
old James Earl Jones.
Yes,
this
is not the James Earl Jones that I was introduced to.
Right. This is not Field of Dreams, James Earl Jones.
Oh, it's awesome. It truly is. I think that everyone will enjoy it.
All right, I look forward to that one. It's Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
Now, we did go see a movie together.
That's right. We got a chance to see Allegiance. This is the Broadway musical filmed for our enjoyment by our friends at Fathom Events.
And we had a lot of people join us. It was a full...
It was a full house.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it good was house.
Good thing. Allegiance, we've talked about quite a few times on the show, is the story written in part by George Takei mm-hmm. on his autobiographical situation where, as a Japanese-American in World War II, he was brought to a camp. Yes. Even though he was an American citizen and his parents were American citizens, the United States government rounded up all the Japanese and people of Japanese heritage and put them in a place where they could keep an eye on them during the war.
And let me give you some of the things that went on. I mean, this farmer, George Takei's character's son ran a farm in California and had relationships with the people all over. I mean, they had very good relationships with everyone around them. And one of the things that he did, he had to sell his farm. Mm-hmm. And his farm was worth $20,000 at the time, and he was only offered $2,000. by
it. And it was a take it or leave it offer.
Exactly. Yeah. So first of all, the wealth that you would have had to build to be able to get the farm up and running, the good service you had to provide to be able to build your clientele like that, to only have it ripped apart. Later on, we're going to find at the end, I think they're given $200, or were they given $20 when they returned home? It was virtually nothing. Mm-hmm. So this, not only were their rights ripped from them as this group of people were forced to go to these camps during World War II, but their wealth that they had built upon was ripped from them too. So they I mean, it was like a 2-point punch. Mm-hmm. So and they had to deal with the racism of the time and all the other fun stuff.
It's a good story. I'm glad that we went to go see it. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that this exists. I'm glad that the people who put this together pushed for it and made this happen. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that it's a musical, because I think that that brought in a piece of the audience to it. But it's not a great musical.
What we're talking about, there's no memorable song.
Right.
So if we listen to Wicked, or you listen to Hamilton or something like that, there's that song, the Impossible Dream. There's no song.
No single song that really embodies the story.
That you're going to go see the local singer and they're going to belt out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just not that one that, Defying Gravity or something like that.
But it's great that it exists. I think,
I agree.
I think I really want to look more into this story and see some of the documentaries that have been made about this and based on my knowledge, and read some of the books, because this exists.
Well, and I think it's so important now, because we do have a group of people who are immigrants that will have different looks from us.
A couple of different groups of people right now.
When I went to college, I had we had a lot of Middle Eastern students at my university. Mm-hmm. A large group of people came from the Middle East, and many of them were my tutors and all that stuff. I've had great relationships. Mm-hmm. They went to see Jurassic Park with me after my calculus exam, and all sorts of fun stuff. And I think that that's important to do, because many of us in the United States just are not exposed to another culture. Mm-hmm. And all I would say is find your Mediterranean restaurant.
Yeah.
And go and enjoy the food, because I can
tell
you,
talk with those people.
The food is awesome, and food will bring the world together.
No question, no question about that.
So, as we learn a little Farsi or whatever the language they're throwing out at the time, we can just tell you the history of mathematics and all sorts of cool stuff.
It's all in there. Opening this week, we got some good movies. We got one that's called Passengers. This is the one that I really hope to get to after I see Star Wars this week.
And this is a story of Star-Lord and Mystique.
That's right.
Going on and getting on a rocket ship
to colonize another planet. That's
They're all in sort of sleep for about 90 years.
Right.
And they're woken up fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And they recognize that by the time they arrive to where they're supposed to be, they're going to be dead.
Right.
So it's their story, and there's a mystery going on there. And this is really Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. You know, two of the coolest people. If you ever say, I'm going to have dinner tonight, I'd like to meet a couple of actors, and I'm going to have a good time.
They would be high on the list.
Oh, yeah. They just seem like they would be, first of all, very down to earth and relatable. And very charming.
Very charismatic. Chris Pratt can say and do just about anything right now. I would watch Chris Pratt in a commercial.
And Jennifer Lawrence obviously has saved us all from the Hunger Games.
Yeah. So going to dinner with her would be a good idea. She could save you from hunger.
Exactly. She's got many, many skills.
I should know more about that movie. That's the only thing I know about that movie, is the Cookie Monster version, The Hungry Games, where he's going out trying to find cookies.
Well, The Hunger Games is very much a Star Wars-like juvenile novel.
Yeah.
And a very capable movie. And they were trying to recreate, Harry Potter had gone away, and they needed a franchise. And they created Divergence after it. I mean, they're continuously trying to create these franchises.
Yeah.
Take The Hobbit and make it five films.
There you go. Another franchise that is coming to movie theaters this week is Assassin's Creed. This is a video game. There's several different video games that the kids really enjoy. And they're turning it into a movie. What could go wrong?
I don't know. They're going to have Magneto is going to be starring in it.
And every video game that's turned into a movie, the movie's always great, right?
They're always going to be great. This actually looks all right.
It could be okay, but there's God, did you watch the Super Mario Brothers movie? It's just a
bad movie. I think that was filmed when I lived in Wilmington. Anyway, I lived in the area where it was being filmed.
Assassin's Creed could be good because it has that historic background.
There's a story to the video game.
Right.
And this is actually starring Michael Fassbender, who we also know as Magneto.
Right.
And this looks like it's going to be a capable... I think it's going to be... If I was at the movie theater and I was choosing the thing that I wanted to see... Probably Passengers would be the first thing I would want to see. Mm-hmm. This would not be high on the list of where I want to see it. But I tell you, when it comes to Netflix, this is going to be something that I would see.
It might be the one that you drop off the teenage boys for.
And also, you're right. Your son, this could definitely hit him and be something he's interested in seeing. And this looks like the type of thing that would be repeat viewing. And
right.
And I play the game, and this is what I watch. They've taken a lot of care for this.
Right. The younger kids, you might drop off to go see the movie Sing, which is also opening this week.
Which I think I'll be seeing. This is, obviously, as we were planning for this, I was explaining, this is like Star Search.
It's amazing that you went straight back to Star Search. Like, that is your frame of reference. It's more like American Idol, kind of like Star Search without Ed McMahon.
Without Ed McMahon.
You are correct, sir.
Well, anyway, this looks very, very funny.
Yeah,
it's got a great cast.
Film, a huge star-studded cast, but they're throwing their voices into this. I love where we're at with all this animation. All the stars can be in the movies and not have to spend a lot of time.
There's a slug that's singing. There's a monkey that's singing. Oh no, a gorilla that's singing.
What else do you want?
There's the pigs that are singing with the German accent.
And Scarlett Johansson is one of the voices.
So you got the Black Widow as part of this.
I wonder if she's a spider.
She's that's right. She's always a supporting character in all the movies.
Yeah,
she shows up everywhere.
She's in everything.
Oh, this looks this looks like a lot of fun.
That looks like a lot of fun. That is one that I will see.
Oh, and the bunnies with their moving butts. It looks funny.
There you go. That one's called Sing. Then we've got Patriots Day. This is the story of the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing,
which took place on Patriots Day. The Boston Marathon is run on Patriots Day in Massachusetts.
It's still confusing to call it Patriots Day.
It stars Marky Mark
and the Funky Bunch. Yes,
that's right. And the Funky Bunch. Yes. Say hello to your mother for me.
But no monkey. There's no monkeys in this one. So.
Well, first of all, this was the bomb that at the end of the marathon that went off. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I mean, I can understand why they would make a movie of this.
It's too close. Yeah, it's too soon.
Maybe so. But even I'm not even sure what's the story that's going to be told here.
Well.
And I'm sure there's plenty of stories. But this is not going to be something that's going to be high on my list of seeing. And maybe I'll end up seeing it, but most likely not.
That creating entertainment for posterity that we enjoyed with Allegiance, that seeing the story, this is an important story, maybe we'll find that in Patriots Day.
I don't know if it was an important story, because basically is the story going to be chasing down a couple terrorists?
It seems like a TV show, not a movie. I don't know what to expect from this one.
And there's the real rub on it. Now, if you go see it, I see it. Maybe it becomes part of the collective memory of society, because our memories stink.
Right.
And we end up remembering the movie version rather than what really happened.
Right.
Who knows? Who knows? It would be like me coming out with a movie called Sandy Hook. I mean, it just seems
too soon. There is a comedy coming out this week called Why Him. I've seen a lot of commercials for this one. This is James Franco and Bryan Cranston.
He's the CEO of the Intel internet company or whatever it is, making lots of money, but he's also a little eccentric.
A little wacky. Yeah. James Franco, a little wacky.
And the idea is he's going to be asking who would be his father-in-law, the hand in marriage of his father-in-law's daughter.
Right.
And obviously
hilarity ensues.
He's a little eccentric, and he seems to inspire the family to move outside of their comfort zone too.
Yeah.
So this reserve family, let's just say this WASPy reserve family, throw them into this California liberal society.
Yeah.
And let's just see how they gel.
It's a reality show of some sort. Yeah, this one's going to make a lot of money. This seems like a movie that a lot of people would like to watch.
If you went to see Office Christmas Party and you wanted a follow-up, this is probably your follow-up.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet either.
Let me tell you what happened.
My God, the list of movies that I need to get to. We've talked about so many movies on this show. Christmas is my time to catch up on some of these movies. One of the ones that I need to see is opening on Christmas Day. This one's called Fences.
This has got Denzel Washington, and this is based off a play.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably, of all the things that we just talked about, Passengers, I would say, would be, if I went to the movie theater on Wednesday, this is what I would see. But Fences is the movie I would see on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like a fascinating play. That's put to movies,
mm-hmm.
There's part of the buildup of the scene that I saw was the young man questioning his father, "Do you love me?" And the response he got from that is, "Do I love you? Do I love you?" Because he's really hard on his son. He goes, "Do you have food in your belly? Do you have clothes in your on your back? Do you have a roof over your head?" And I don't know where the tension's going to come from that, but you know, the actions that the father is doing, mm-hmm. while he may not show emotionally that he loves him, he's showing him through the dedication to his work,
mm-hmm.
And the results of that. This idea that emotionally the father may not be there for him, but you know, financially he's providing for him, and it just seems like the father-son dynamic is right there. And, you know, the mom's sitting there, too. Now, I don't know if that's the entire thrust of this story, but this is what I got from watching this scene. This looks like a very deep, fun movie.
Yeah, I think these are some of the Oscar movies that are getting put out right at the end of 2016 to be in consideration for the Oscars. The other one is called Gold. This one is going to be opening wide on January 27th, but they are putting it in a couple of theaters this week so that we can have it on the list for Oscars next year.
And this starts Matthew McConaughey. Oh, McConaughey.
Oh, I love McConaughey.
You know, he drove a Lincoln before it was cool.
Yes.
And Matthew McConaughey in this film looks like he has a hairstyle style that we all could dream of.
And a body shape.
The old comb over.
He is such an actor. I love Matthew McConaughey in everything that he's been in, and he's so different in everything. You haven't seen True Detective.
No.
True Detective, he and Woody Harrelson are two of the most wonderful actors working right now.
All right,
I look forward to this.
And so this movie is about gold, search of gold,
mm-hmm.
and about finding riches and finding investors that will finance that. And here's basically the experience that's going on there. This looks interesting, and I will see this eventually.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about it more in a month or so when it actually opens wide.
Maybe I'll get a Lincoln to drive.
I can drive a Lincoln, rub a booger.
That's
brings us to our book of the week, and you've been talking to me about this book for like 3 weeks now. This is called Santa Claus Is For Real, A True Christmas Fable About the Magic of Believing. It's by Charles Edward Hall. Tell me all about this.
All right, so Charles Edward Hall is the Radio City Music Hall's Santa Claus in the show. And so this is a story about his life and about his playing or discovering Santa and playing Santa. So we start off. This is a fascinating book, by the way. And it's I listened to him read this to me.
So you can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
I had to go drive down to pick up my daughters. They went to the Jingle Bell Bash, I think is what they saw. They got to see Fifth Harmony and Britney Spears and everybody. And, you know, as dad, you know, I get to go pick them up. And
sit in the car lonely for a couple hours.
Which, speaking of the Allstate Arena, and not to go too crazy on this, there is a Target that's right beside it. And the number of limos that pack into that area, I don't know what Target does. By the way, all the people in Target, I got a loaf of bread, but it's just packed of people waiting for their kids.
Just lonely dads waiting for their kids to come out of the show. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm listening to this Audible as I'm going down because I wanted to listen to something, obviously, of the Christmas spirit. Mm-hmm. And this is a great story. This is a guy that grew up in Kentucky. At some point, he decided he wanted to be an actor. So he goes to New York City. He has a person, as before he leaves, say, you will not be able to do this. You're going to fail at it. And so he gets to New York, and obviously he struggles like every actor does. But he gets to read for a part. And the part he wants for this Radio City Music Hall show is he wants to play Scrooge. Mm-hmm. And he's doing a character study of Scrooge and all this other stuff. And they said, well, you know, if you play Scrooge, you got to play Santa too. And so we get the beginning of his journey because he does a character study of Santa. Mm-hmm. It's a great, great story because part of it is real life. Part of it he's dealing with, he's talking about building this Broadway musical. And the stage is so large that in between sets, they're playing wiffle ball. So all the Rockettes and everybody, the guys are playing elves, they're playing wiffle ball. And it's big enough to play wiffle ball. How cool is that? He has to come to terms with who Santa is. And part of the way he does that is that this book breaks it into the character where he has conversations with the real Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. And so he says, all right, so what should I be doing to create this dance routine with Santa? And Santa, he takes the Santa voice, and he's this jovial, fun guy, and he's like, well, I think we should do this. And he talks about how to move, create the rhythm and the movements and all of the other stuff. And it is fascinating because eventually he doesn't want to be the Scrooge character anymore. Santa is the ambassador of the show. Ultimately, it's an ambassador to New York City and to the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. And so he's on a radio show this morning. He's on a television show this other morning. He is meeting with the mayor. He's talking a lot about how he has to portray this character and the relationship he has with the audience. And where we're talking about meeting people, about their life, their grown-ups, they get glowy, mm-hmm. and they smile and they talk to him a certain way, and how children react when they meet them. One of the things that he's done is he will find out a certain person is in the audience and he'll call them out by name. Like Steve shows up with his kids. He'll say, well, hi, Mr. Fodor's kids. Mm-hmm. How are you guys doing? And he'll call them out during the show. And one of the last parts I'll leave you with is I do think that he really came to terms. While he may not be Mr. Rogers or the Dalai Lama who can change the world, mm-hmm. because they just have that magic to people, you recognize the person playing Santa in your community, the person who is the Santa Claus, has that special, unique gift and has a decorum they have to use. And it's a very powerful decorum. Mm-hmm. And for the person who is taking on the persona of Santa, it's just wonderful. I mean, it's a way to touch people on a very deep and meaningful level. And he definitely has come to those terms. And the person who told him in Kentucky that he could not be this character, she came to him after one of the Broadway shows. She came to visit him and apologize. And every year, she takes a bus trip with a whole group of people to go visit this guy and to the Radio City Music Hall show and to meet him after the show.
Because he's done such a great job being that ambassador.
He basically says, you can do amazing things. Mm-hmm. And if you are a person who is in the holiday season or any time in life who feels that, you know, you're not in the goal that or you're not in the place you should be in life, maybe it's that time to consider taking a leap of faith and doing something, because maybe your life turns out to be like this gentleman.
There you
truly
go.
A magical experience playing a magical person.
Isn't that great when you can find a book that really gets to the heart of the human experience?
Oh, absolutely.
You've been talking to me about this for weeks, and it seems like it really, really touched you. So I'm glad that you can share that with everybody.
So each year we seem to have these. We talked about Truman Capote's A Christmas Memory a few years ago. We talked about Gene Shepard's, the story that basically became A Christmas Story. You know, this is another one of those. I would put that on the list of things that you could read and really have a special, unique experience in life. Dickens, Christmas Carol, things of that nature.
Once again, it's called Santa Claus is for Real by Charles Edward Hall, and you can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Now, you have an iPad, and yes, your kids have iPhones, and you have your Google, but if you were on that iPad, what would you be playing this week?
I would be absolutely doing nothing else.
Did you say absolutely?
But playing Super Mario Run this week. Our appetite this week is straight out of my childhood. I'm not a video game player. My students are always confused by the fact that I am not a video gamer. As much as I'm into technology, I don't play video games. But boy, let me tell you, when Super Mario Brothers 3 came out, I played that game.
Oh, how awesome.
This week, Super Mario Run finally is on iOS, and you should get this game.
This is a $10 game.
It is. There's a free. You can play the first four levels for free, but after that, you want to give Nintendo $10 for this game. It's well worth it.
And let's put this in context. If we would go and buy a Wii U game, or you know,
Xbox,
if you're
game,
Xbox
modern game,
you're looking at $50-$60.
Those are very expensive right now. This is $10, which is expensive for the mobile space.
Sure,
but compared to the other products out there, this is well worth it. The design that they put into this game, it took a long time for them to decide to go mobile. Nintendo has been struggling. They want to keep the Nintendo DS and the Game Boys and the Wiis, they want to have the hardware and the software, and they don't want to give up their intellectual property, Mario and Zelda, and so they've stayed off of our mobile phones. But now that our mobile phones are so normal, everybody's got a smartphone, it seems, it's time for them to take a look at this, and I think they're going to make a lot of money with this game.
Well, it is the top grossing app of the week, and it's had 900,000 more downloads than Pokemon Go. So obviously it's being quickly adopted.
Because Pokemon Go was certainly big at its release, and it's, that first month was huge. I think this one's got more staying power.
So we have a few days to Hanukkah, a few days to Christmas, and usually that means a gift-giving time.
Yeah.
So grab that iTunes card.
Yes.
Because a $10 iTunes card would buy this.
And here's the genius of this. This is an online-only game. You can only play it when your mobile device is connected to the internet so that they can keep the piracy of this down.
So let me make sure I'm clear on this. You just need to be connected, even through a cell tower or something like that, to
whatever
be able to pull some data.
Whatever connection you have, you need to be pulling data from the internet through your mobile device.
Okay.
And that's to prevent people from having multiple copies of this at a lower rate. So that $10 is for basically one device. So if you have multiple devices, you might.
Really?
Yeah.
So if I have two children, each child will have to buy their own. Wow. You know, that's unique on the Apple, because usually if you buy an app, that I buy a calculator. And it's available on all my iOS devices.
All your fleet of devices.
So I have it on my iPad, and I have it on my smartphone. And if I'm on a family plan, my wife, she wants to have this calculator, she can have it on hers.
Correct.
So this one is unique in the sense that each individual has to purchase their own copy.
Yeah, they can all have the free version, those first four levels, but anything beyond that, that is a full $9.99 purchase. So you might get up to that $60 level pretty quick.
Well, you know, most of us don't have six kids.
Some of us have moms and dads that play video games, too.
Well, I don't want this to be a discouragement on purchasing this game. What we've learned is this is a quality game
Yes.
that has all the bells and whistles that we would expect on a normal system-based game.
It's an entertaining game. It is well worth the money. The value of it is certainly there. They put in heart and soul into this game, and it's a fun, challenging, exciting, I've been playing it all week, kind of a game.
Sure, and you don't have to play it from, you don't have to buy a hardware. You already have the hardware with your device.
That's right. The other app that we need to talk about this week, it's that time of year.
Ah, it's Santa.
Santa Claus is coming to town, and we can track him. We've talked about these.
We've been tracking Santa Claus for years.
That's right.
It's like tracking deer. It's like hunting season.
That's probably a bad analogy. There's a couple of good Santa trackers out there. The historic one is the NORAD Santa. You can find that one at noradsanta.org. And the new one is Google is actually put their power behind tracking Santa, so you sure. know when it's time to go to bed before Santa gets there.
That's right. And then you can wake up when he gets right there, have your phone just wake you up. That's why they have alarm clocks.
That's what the alarm clock's for, is for getting Santa.
Or as the kids get older, it's like, well, it's, if some point, if Santa was to come, somebody's got to go to bed.
That's right. We've got to get to bed in time on Christmas Eve. There's no doubt about that.
Anyway, lots of fun there.
Lots of fun. That NORAD Santa is a really interesting story. We talked about it last year. You can look it up. It's a really fun story. You should be
prepared if you get a phone call out of the blue. That's what they have. They got a phone call.
That's it. That's the story. NORAD got a phone call from a kid saying, hey, where's Santa? And NORAD answered that call and has been doing so ever since.
A military mission right there.
There you go. Excellent. Wonderful. It's wonderful. That makes your heart grow three sizes that day. Brings us to now the news.
Carve the roast beast.
Yes. Yahoo, on the other hand, your heart might shrink a little bit when you hear that they've been hacked. This hack happened 3 years ago, so it's not a panic kind of situation, but they've lost about 1 billion pieces of information in this hack.
Username, passwords, all the stuff, all your vital data. There's two parts of this. Let's just make it real clear. If you've got a Yahoo email address, you need to be moving over to either Outlook or to Gmail or to some other service.
Some other system.
And the reason being is what we're learning right now is that Yahoo was having financial difficulties. And those financial difficulties meant they cut corners on stuff. And when they cut the corners, what they were doing is you became vulnerable to this. And this is very similar to any type of service out there. And you know, you're welcome to pay for an email service, but the free ones out there, you know, are Gmail and Outlook, which is used to be Hotmail.
And I strongly suggest that you don't take the email from your internet service provider. If you're with AT&T, I strongly suggest you don't
Comcast.
Use that as your main email. Use one of these ubiquitous services, because if you switch ISPs, then you don't need to worry about telling everybody that you have a new address.
Sure.
That's the way to do it. Yahoo is...
It's time to drop them. I'm on Yahoo for a fantasy football league. Mm-hmm. In fact, that was the email I sent out to the participants. I said, next year we need to find another service for this. Maybe next year we'll talk a little bit about fantasy football and how to set those things up.
Excellent. I love fantasy football. I've lost every year for the last 20 years. Amazon is shipping stuff, and they are moving forward with their policy of shipping via drone. They call it Prime Air, and they shipped their first official package this week. And
there you go. They just dropped it off.
The skies are going to be full of drones dropping stuff
there
off.
You go. Well, or Chinese, the Navy will pick up the military drones, the U.S. military drones. Remember that one?
Yeah.
This week? They just picked it up and it took it back to China.
Yeah.
So anyway, Amazon is delivering packages. China's taking drones from the sea.
Nothing bad could happen. Don't worry. Michigan has passed new laws regulating self-driving cars. So Ford, GM, and Chrysler, they need to get started on their self-driving car program here.
Well, it looks like they're doing that. Yes. And Michigan has created the rule to allow them to do that. This is interesting because usually we get the more aggressive terms, maybe in California.
Yeah, the laws usually start out in California and then move toward the East Coast.
But the nice part about Michigan is there's lots of snow. So in California, we get beautiful weather most of the time. Mm-hmm. When you start moving up to the especially upper Midwest, we get more challenging weather.
And the robots need to learn to drive in those conditions.
That's right. And, you know, you never know. One could speed through a red light this week.
Right. That was an interesting story. That was a disgruntled robot who was not going to stop at a red light.
He kissed the roof and said, I'm going for it. Yellow means punch it, baby.
That's right. Alphabet's creating their self-driving car company. They're calling it Waymo. My students said,
Waymo car.
Yeah. My students said, maybe Waymo is a bad name for a car company. So they're calling it Waymo. It's Waymo car. And GM is said to be starting in immediately with their self-driving car system. I am ready. Technology is definitely the way to go in cars.
Technology changes quickly. And as BMW learned, well, it's still.
Maybe really quickly.
Yeah, well, AT&T told everybody, hey, 2G's going away.
Yeah.
And BMW, for many of their models, not their current models, but the previous generations of models, used that for their emergency service, like OnStar type right. stuff, driver's assistance stuff. And BMW, in response to that, were offering, I think it was $200 or $300
vouchers
for stuff, and they were giving money back because the service was supposed to be available. And that, I guess that's cheaper than retrofitting this. Mm-hmm. But what they found is most of the people who are use these type services don't even use them.
Right.
And they're still using their cell phones for them.
Because we all have those smartphones. What we're going for in cars, I think, is the ability to attach that smartphone to the dashboard so that we have the computing power in our pocket and we can see it like on a monitor.
And while cell phones certainly is expensive and tablets are expensive and things of that nature, they're less expensive to replace those than they are to replace automobile technology mm-hmm. in there. So, you know, there's, you know, whether you use Waze or Google Maps or the Apple Maps or, mm-hmm. or MapQuest or something like that, having those things update, they're virtually free.
Right.
If they're not free already. But the automobile, you know, they seem to be charging too much for them. People are abandoning. If there's an emergency in your car, you typically are going to be more likely to press your cell phone
right.
emergency number than it is to press the button for OnStar or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. This is just a great example of this where automobile manufacturers to be more conscious of making sure their stuff integrates mm-hmm. with technology that can change. And you're a good example of that with the CarPlay.
Yeah, we just picked up a new car this week, and we've got CarPlay from Apple in it, and it's got Android Auto. Mm-hmm. So the smartphones plug into the car and come up as a monitor in mm-hmm. the dashboard, and then all of those links should be made so that if there's an accident, the car can connect to that smartphone and use that as cellular communication to send out that message.
And as the technology updates, which it definitely will over the next 5-10 years or further, it will be able to update with it, where right. the automobile certainly just seems doesn't really have the ability to do that. My hope is that eventually when we get those codes that are generated when the car does something wrong, mm-hmm. You know, misfires or something, that those will be able to come through an app. There's no reason why
text me. Yeah.
There shouldn't be a GM app, a Ford app, a Volkswagen app, a yeah. Toyota app that immediately reads those and tells you
this
that
is what's happening and this is what you need to do about it.
You've got tires low pressure, or you need to change your oil, or whatever it is. Your yeah. car is malfunctioning.
But only for about 10 more years before the Johnny Cab system comes in and I just call a car. Comes to me and drives me where I want to go. I'm done owning cars. I got one more car after this one, and then I'm done.
All right. So, you know, Christmas is coming. And for yes. Steve, that means Steve's watches the Star Wars films.
Yep. Episode 4, 5, and 6.
Most of us didn't spend time with our family, but Steve's going to spend time with his family and multitask.
That's my Star Wars family. Luke Skywalker. The Skywalker family is a part of my family.
They love you back? There you go.
They do. They do. Ask Mark Hamill. He'll tell you. I watch all 3 Star Wars movies, 4, 5, and 6. I might watch episode 7 this year. I still haven't really decided. Then at 7 o'clock on Christmas Day, Doctor Who is going to be on my TV, sir.
Who?
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
The first and
only... On BBC
only,
America.
On BBC America, the first and only Doctor Who episode of 2016 is airing on Christmas Day. It's called The Return of Dr. Mysterio. It's about a superhero who's not Doctor Who. So I'm going to watch that a lot on Christmas Day.
But assuming his wife pulls him away and he's unable to complete the viewing of that,
what
is there an opportunity to watch this again?
For those of you
maybe who, maybe with a group.
Yeah, maybe not lonely in the dark on Christmas Day like I usually watch TV. Those of you who have other things to do on Christmas Day and don't want to watch Doctor Who, I don't know who you are, but that's okay.
There are those around us.
There are those. There is an opportunity on Tuesday, December 27th, and Thursday, December 29th.
That's after Boxing Day. That's the day after Boxing Day.
That's right. Our friends over at Fathom Events are showing this Doctor Who episode in your local theater. Get your group of buddies together. Go out to the movie theater and see this episode of Doctor Who.
Go, and you can maybe make a life mate right there.
There you go. You can make some new friends.
Exactly. And a group of people can
That's
go watch
Santa
it together.
That's what Santa wants. Santa wants you to make friends.
Exactly. Maybe find a partner and have kids, and you can all watch it together.
Yeah, I think that's what Michael and Lynn did and learned all about Doctor Who and built a family around that. So, yes, this is an opportunity for you. Go watch Doctor Who.
Excellent.
That's all I have to say. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
I hear some sleigh bells, only if we can come back next week.
Next week. It's that week between, you know, that week between Christmas and New Year's. We'll have to put together our list of all the stuff that happened in 2016 and figure out our predictions for 2017 next week.
And figure out who wins all those bowl games, because we got a lot of football to watch.
Yes. Football. Very important. Good. If you need more information, there's so many ways to find it. You can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can find all the news that you need on our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm still the reindeer guy, Chip Hessenfleck.
See you in the future. Ho, ho, ho.